is the sixth of the Columbia Workshop Festival broadcasts. Tonight, CBS is happy to present the first specially commissioned work for the series. It is called simply Radio Play, and was written by the distinguished young American novelist and playwright William Saroyan, his first venture in the medium of radio. Brewster Morgan will direct the performance.
All right, quiet, please. Quiet, everybody. This is where the play begins. Let's see now. Exactly 10 o'clock Eastern Daylight Saving Time. Out in San Francisco, it's only 6 o'clock. Isn't that right, Bill? What we want during the next 30 minutes is a play.
Oh, boy.
Quiet, Harry. Now, we've got no theater, no stage, there's no television yet, so naturally you can't see us, which is just fine. The play will have to be a radio play. We don't mean anything but radio. Not a movie over the radio or not a stage play over the radio. We mean a radio play over the radio. We've allowed a few of our relatives to come to the studio and laugh at us, but they're part of the play, too, so here goes. Now, as the saying is, the curtain rises.
All right. Let's get going.
Quiet, Harry. Now, don't let's get excited. The play is going to be very easy going because that's the way things are in this country. In Vermont, South Carolina, Montana, Texas, California, in any of the states. See, we've got reasons. The play is going to be easy going in case somebody in Oklahoma listening in has got a weak heart and might get excited if we were to shout a good deal, or in case a little boy in Wyoming or a little girl in Tennessee is listening in and might not sleep all night wrestling with some absurd fear planted in his imagination by us about war or storm or crime or famine.
What do you mean?
Harry, what I mean is, we're not going to scare the children or anybody else.
Oh.
And another thing we're not going to do is, we're not going to go to work and have a wonderful romance go haywire and break 3 million hearts. Our platform is, if you can't make people laugh, don't make them cry. Therefore, during the next half hour, we won't scare the people, worry them, or break their hearts. Let the other boys do that. We'll have a little innocent fun and see if it gets us anywhere.
Come on, let's get going.
I'll be the announcer. I haven't studied radio announcing. I didn't go to Harvard. I'm not even a Yale man. If I were to mention the school I went to, educated people would bust out laughing, most likely. All it was a little high school. I mean, you don't necessarily have to be overeducated to be able to talk, especially on the radio. See, anybody could be a radio announcer, if he cared to talk that way. I'll just go to work and announce, and ladies and gentlemen, the Columbia Broadcasting System takes pride in presenting... No, I guess that's no good. Too high tone, huh? I'll try again. Ladies and gentlemen, we're all feeling fine and don't hate anybody, so we're going to start out with a little song. None of us can sing, but we thought it would be real pleasant if we did our best. There are 2,000 million people in the world, and not more than 2 or 3 dozen of them can really sing, so why should we feel embarrassed? Or why should you, for that matter? I'm going to ask Hank to lead us in a little singing, and if you feel like singing with us, okay.
Oh, little Sorrico, how do you do?
See, I told you we couldn't sing, but don't forget all them other people in the world that can't sing either. See, we've all got a right to try. It doesn't hurt anybody. Makes you feel good. Little Sir Echo, how do you do? Hello.
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 Stacy, I do a lot of singing that way. I don't suppose I'd last a month in the Metropolitan Opera. I just get a kick out of singing.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all you hear around here, it seems like.
Okay, here we go. Act One, a fable. The Federal Bureau of Investigation doesn't know it yet, but I stole a watermelon once. I ate it, too. I felt bad about that for a week. Wasn't ripe, that's why. I had to eat it, though, because it was too big to carry in my pocket. Now, we're going to make a fable out of this episode, and I'll be the farmer. Harry.
Yeah?
You be me, a small barefoot boy of 10 with a stomach full of unripe watermelon. The scene is a watermelon patch in Georgia, Alabama, California, Florida, anywhere, all where watermelon grows.
All right, Al, I'll be you and you be the farmer.
Howdy, boy. Would you like a nice watermelon? The market's bad, and I hate to see the watermelons going to waste, rotting on the vines, barefoot boy with cheeks of tan.
What do I say?
Say what you think you ought to say. Let's see if we can carry on a little conversation. Huh?
Okay.
Mr. Jenkins, I already ate one of your watermelons.
Well, son, I'm delighted.
Yeah, but
nothing. You're welcome to any watermelon of mine anytime you feel in the mood.
Yeah, but it wasn't ripe, and I think I've got a stomachache. A stomachache, I think.
Stomachache?
Mm-hmm.
That's awful. Don't you know how to pick out a ripe watermelon?
I didn't have time enough.
Didn't have time enough? Why not? It's early in the day.
Mr. Jenkins, I was scared.
Scared of what or whom?
You.
Me? What in the world were you scared of me for?
I was stealing one of your watermelons, Mr. Jenkins. That's why.
My boy, you just think you were stealing.
I was too stealing, Mr. Jenkins. I came up the road as if I was on my way to my grandma's. All of a sudden, I jumped over the fence, ran to the watermelon patch, stole the first one I came to, and ran back here and ate it. Now I think I've got a stomachache, I think.
How's that, all right?
Yeah, it was fine, Harry. Yeah, it was a very nice little parable you made up, and I think it isn't going to do anybody in the world any harm. That parable has a very pleasant moral. Don't steal a watermelon. It may be green and give you a stomachache. Farmers are human and markets are bad. Farmers will be glad to help you pick out a nice, ripe watermelon, and they'll be pleased to watch you eat it, because that's what watermelons are for.
Okay, where are we now?
Well, along about this time, I think we better hear a little music. Something new, just composed, never before heard by anybody. Raymond, you're a composer. Let's talk a little about that.
You want to talk to me?
Sure. There's real drama in how a young fellow like you goes to work and composes a song or a piece of music, something like that. How do you do it?
Well, let's see. How do I do it? I don't know how I do it. I mean...
That's fine. That's all I want to know. Now, let's hear it without any more fuss. It's probably very good. What's the name of it?
Well, it's a love song. It's called... it's got a very appropriate title.
Uh-huh.
I call it... I'll tell you how the idea happened to come to me. I was sitting in the subway reading the funny paper when the fellow who was holding the paper turned the page and left my mind a total blank. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I began to think.
Uh-huh.
And then I said to myself, Raymond, I says, I think there's a song in that idea somewhere or other. And sure enough.
Yes, sir, sure enough. And what was the name of it?
Well, you see, so many songs have been written about different places and things. Uh-huh. And I always wanted to write a song about a thing that was far away from a place.
Uh-huh.
So, and now little Beatrice Kay is going to sing it.
That's nice. And the title?
Well, it's kind of romantic. I call it In a Subway, Far from Ireland.
In a subway far from Ireland, I had the strangest ride. For across the aisle there was a lad with a nice lad by his side. I felt so good when he saw the lad he was beside. become his future bride. I met him, he met me in a subway far from Ireland. Ooh, what a ride! With a nice lad by my side, I told him, he told me, in a subway far from Ireland. Far, far away. Far, far away. Rumble, tumble, fumble, humble, thimble went the wheels. Snicker, snacker went the crow. They know not how it feels. I kissed him, he kissed me in a subway far from Ireland. Far, far away. Far, far away. I mistook for a lonely nook, a subway far from Ireland. Oh, what a ride, with a nice lad by my side. I asked him, he asked me, does your mother come from Ireland? Far, far away. Rumble, tumble, fumble, humble, thimble went the wheels. Whisper, 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 they knew how it feels. I kissed him, he kissed me in a subway far from Ireland. Far, far away.
Wasn't that sweet? And now comes the Department of Education, or no information, thank you. The idea is for me to ask six or seven of the most intelligent people here.
Who's intelligent?
Sam.
Yeah?
Stay away from that cash register. Intelligent people, a few simple questions. You see, you answer them, and if you answer the question correctly, you win.
Oh, boy, here's my chance to put my high school education to work. What's the first question?
Just a minute, Harry. Ladies and gentlemen, six of the most intelligent personalities on this floor of the Columbia Broadcasting System building in New York have been brought here at tremendous expense and with the help of ropes, chains, pulleys, levers, and trap doors. For the purpose of answering miscellaneous questions sent in by a schoolgirl in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Now, these six experts are all named Harry. And they're regarded as above average.
Above average in what?
Height, weight, size of hat. What size hat do you wear?
What's the question?
Sam.
Yeah?
I told you to stay away from that cash register. What do you think you're doing?
I'm trying to get my hand out of it. How does this thing work?
What'd you do, get your hand caught in it?
Yeah.
Well, what'd you put your hand in there for in the first place, huh?
I never saw a cash register drawer come out and go back so quick. I just wanted to touch the money.
Excuse me a minute, folks. I never got a jam like this here. You better let me get you out of this here. You been to high school?
Yeah. Get my hand out of this, will you?
Uh-huh. All right, all right. I'll ring up no sale, and you draw your hand out real quick. It works faster than the eye. You ready?
Okay.
Well, I'll count to three. One.
Two.
Three. There you are, Sam.
Yeah. Now my tie's caught.
All right, again. One. Two. Three. Okay now? Okay?
Okay, thanks. Gosh, was I scared.
You can't fool with these modern conveniences.
What's the question? I got a whole education going to waste over here.
Well, you'll have to come over here. I got to keep my eye on Sam. The question is, what is it that's white all around and has four windows and never moves?
Is that the question?
It isn't the answer.
Read it again.
Now, listen carefully.
Yes.
What is it that has a porch, four numbers by the door, and doesn't talk?
Was that the question you read the first time?
Yes, of course. Answer it, will you? Now, there's a time limit, you know, 5 minutes. Precious time's going by. Hurry, hurry.
Let's see now. No wheels, smoke doesn't come out, and never worries. The Sphinx?
No.
Am I warm?
Answer the question.
Old Man River?
No.
An airplane?
No.
Deck of cards?
No.
The Pacific Ocean?
No, you're guessing.
Well, what is it then?
I'm asking the questions. You're answering them.
Well, I give up. What is it?
Let's see. It doesn't say.
What was the question again?
All right, once more, but that's all. Now listen carefully. What is it that stays in one place all the time and never does anything unless it catches on fire or is torn down? And where, if you live there and write letters to people, letters come to you?
Sally Rand.
Oh, you're thinking of something else.
No, I'm not. Isn't it Sally Rand?
I don't think so. I'm not sure, though.
Sure it is. Sally Rand. That's the answer. Honest it is, Al.
Well, all right, but it doesn't seem exactly right.
It is. Honest it is.
Okay, ring the cash register, Sam. Did you get the money for Harry?
I'd like to see anybody get anything out of this cash register.
Oh, now look, let's all work together. I'll ring no sale, and then when the drawer comes out, you and Harry grab it and hold it open, and I'll get the money.
I'll do my best.
Whoop, missed it that time. Try it again. Look, try harder, will you?
Come on now, you. Don't try to chip me. Give me my money.
All right, now, take it easy now, Harry. You answer the question, you're going to get your money. First, we've got to hold the drawer out.
And look out for your fingers.
Oh, got it.
Oh! Get my hand out of here.
I see.
Oh, boy. Say, Harry, I'll have to owe you the money.
Nothing doing. I answered the question, Sally Rand, and I want my money.
All right, get your own money out of the cash register.
All right, I will. Can't scare me. No!
Okay, Sam, get his hand out of there. Now, are you satisfied?
I want my money.
Second question.
I won't talk.
Oh, come on now, Harry, don't be that way. What is it that has bad manners and is very fat?
How many eyes?
Three. Two. Two, the same as all of us.
Can it move?
Yeah, sure, if it isn't dead.
A tiger.
Tigers aren't fat.
They got bad manners.
No, not necessarily. That isn't the answer.
What's the question again?
Who was it that made a mistake and came to America in 1492?
Bad manners and fat. Are you sure it was 1492?
What says here?
Who is this girl in Altoona, Pennsylvania, anyway?
Right.
Did I answer it?
You did. Oh! And now the scene changes about here, I believe. Yeah, and everybody gets serious, especially me. There's an old saying that a stitch in time saves nine, but a message of this sort we may very well suppose can be taken with a grain of salt. We are not saying that the present administration should discontinue spending. We are saying that a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. The ancient Arabs believed in thrift. Thrift was part and parcel of the scheme of the British Empire from 1787, I believe, to 1918 or so. War is an ugly thing. We don't want it. Peace is a wonderful thing. We do want it. Can we hope for any solution for everything if the money goes and goes and keeps going?
Al, what do you think you're doing?
Oh, gee, thanks, Harry. I got a little carried away there, I guess. What I mean is, don't you see, and so forth, and of course, that way, happiness for all.
Al, this is supposed to be a play even children can understand. How can anybody understand that kind of talk?
Well, why should anybody understand me talking that way when they haven't understood anybody else talking that way over the radio in the last 10 years? I just want them to know what that kind of talk amounts to. I mean, nothing. I want the children to know.
Yeah, well, let's imagine they found out and go ahead and sell something.
Well, we haven't got anything to sell.
Well, let's sell something anyway. Who wants to sell something? Yeah, Hank, get in there and sell something.
Oh, me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, let's see. ladies and gentlemen, if you've got some extra money and feel like buying something or other, go ahead and buy it, and we hope you enjoy it. Buy anything. Buy anything you feel like buying. You know how much money you've got and how much you can spare and what you need most and what you like most, so we don't need to tell you what to get. Almost everything they're selling is very good. And if we had a little extra money ourselves, we'd go right out and buy us a little something or other.
Columbia Broadcasting may not like that kind of talk, Hank.
Why, they'll be crazy about it.
The advertisers may not like it.
The advertisers know they can't fool the people. What's more, they don't want to. We say, buy what you want to buy. The advertisers say the same thing.
I don't know. This doesn't sound like a play to me. It hasn't got any plot.
No plot?
No.
No plot? Why, Harry, this is all plot. I was born in 1908, and here I am still alive. You were born some year or other, and here you are. Every man in the world was born, and there they are. 2,000 million of them. Why, it's the only pot. We've got a great little drama here.
Yeah, but she doesn't tell him she loves him.
Now, wait a minute, boys. Now let me take care of that. Here, Alice.
Yeah?
How are you, honey?
I'm fine, Al. How are you?
Alice, do you suppose you could tell Willie over there that you love him so that we could get a little love interest in here somewhere?
Willie?
That's fine. All right, Willie, come on over here and listen to Alice telling you.
Yeah, but I really am in love with Alice.
Well, so much the better. Then here's your chance to convey the message to her.
Convey it? I've been conveying it 2 or 3 months now. Do you think she cares?
Alice, don't you?
Well, I'm kind of in love with somebody else.
You see?
Now, Alice, don't be headstrong. Willie's a perfectly nice boy.
He isn't romantic.
Oh, I am too romantic. I've seen all the movies, and I know just how to behave in a romance.
Well, you're not romantic enough.
Oh, yeah? Well, who was it pointed out the moon to you the other night?
That moon was no bigger than a slice of watermelon.
Oh, what do you want me to do, control the seasons? It was the only moon there was at the time, and I pointed it out to you, remember? Remember how I held your hand and said, look, Alice, the moon?
Yeah, I remember. Remember how I said, let's go to a show or a nightclub or a movie or something? And you said how much money you got.
Well, I was broke. All I had was 27 cents. It wasn't my fault. The trouble with you, Alice...
All right, now, Alice, you go right ahead now and tell Willie you love him.
Okay, but it's an exaggeration.
Now, Alice, people are listening.
Okay. Willie, I love you.
No, that'll never do. You know very well that you can do better than that. Now, try again.
Willie, I love you.
Doesn't have the ring of truth. It sounds like a hollow mockery to me.
You see, Al...
Just a minute, Harry. I'll get this romance on its feet. Now, once again, Alice...
This is Maximum. Willie, I love you.
Alice!
Tell him some more, Alice.
Willie, I love you.
I love you too, Alice.
See, you see, he takes advantage of the situation.
Well, that was all right. That was all right. Sure, it was enough to give everybody an idea. That's all we wanted to do, just give him an idea.
Now, you see, Al, Willie's the kind
that's
of boy...
That's all, that... Alice. Now, you can go back to the orchestra leader now.
But, I mean, he hasn't
well,
got...
Well, yeah, she's to... selfish. Don't
that's
you see...
That's all, Willie. All we want to do is to give him an idea. Now, you go on
who's
back...
Who's selfish?
Now, Alice, you know I love you, but you know you are selfish.
Now, listen
and you
here,
are...
you...
Will you two please stop this argument and argue somewhere else? All I wanted to do was to give the people an idea how wonderful love is. Now, let's do something super.
Super? What do you mean, super?
Well, all right then, ordinary. Gosh, can't a fella have a little fun, throw in a few big words around here once in a while?
Yeah.
This isn't going to be super exactly, but what's the harm in saying it is everybody else does.
Yeah, but look, Al, we've only got 5 minutes to go.
So what? 5 minutes is a long time. We got nothing to do.
Yeah, but what'll people think?
What do you mean?
I mean, all we've got is 5 minutes to go, and so far, nothing's happened.
Does something have to happen?
Well, something usually does in a play.
Yeah, but what kind of a play? Some little unimportant saga of some kind.
People won't like a play like this when nothing happens.
Don't worry about people. Just leave them alone. Don't always be moving in on them with some old army game. Now, the program's going to get high tone now. We're going to have some opera.
Oh, boy.
I'm so lonesome, blue, 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 blue. I'm so lonesome.
discontented. I'm so tired and spent it. Blue, 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 blue.
Again. What do you say, Al? Swing right in.
Wait a minute, boys. We haven't got time. Only a minute and a half left. I'll tell you what let's do. We'll dedicate a minute of silence, a whole minute of dead air, to music lovers everywhere.
Hello. Morgan speaking. Yeah. Well, it's a fine time to call up. We're having a one-minute silence. I said we're having a one-minute silence. Well, then lower your voice. Or the actors. Well, the announcer is Orth Bell. Harry's John Gibson. Sam is Joe Latham. Alice is Mitzi Gould. Willie's Everett Sloan. Raymond Scott composed the music and conducted it. No, he doesn't talk like that. He won't talk at all. That was an actor talking for him. Hank Ladd. I said Hank Ladd. See here, I can't tell you this. I can't tell you the story of the play now. I don't know this story. I'm only the director.
All right, our 1 minute of silence is up. Ladies and gentlemen, radio play written especially for the Columbia Workshop by William Saroyan is now over. Thank you for listening.
Brewster Morgan directed tonight's performance. We regret that Jerry Colonna, announced last week to take part in the broadcast tonight, was unable to do so because of an unexpected call to Hollywood. Next week at this time, Martin Gosch will direct a revival of Wilbur Daniel Steele's A Drink of Water, which was adapted from the story of the same name by Max Wiley. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.